Welcome to the Basically Famous podcast, where we're taking our notoriety to the mic and no topic is off limits. I'm your host, Wendy.
And I'm your host, Spencer. Each week, we talk about life's bullshit, our hot takes, and make one of you basically famous too.
Okay, hold on. I was trying to get an echo. Welcome. Should all acquaintance be forgot? We are starting a new year. January and February can kiss my whole ass. We are starting a new year. Okay.
You have had a rough start to the year.
We'll talk about that later. We're going to finish. We're going to pick up where we started.
What were we talking about? Oh, okay. So stickers. We were talking about stickers. Literally, I am unmedicated today. I just took my Adderall. So dangerous place to be. I
haven't taken it in 2 weeks. I'm scared. I don't want to take it. Because I'm scared I'm going to spiral back. No, I'm scared it's going to trigger something in my brain. Again, we'll get to that. Go ahead.
Okay.
Stickers.
It won't. You'll be safe.
Oh, no.
So there's this coffee place that I went to try and blah, blah, blah. We were talking about it. And then we were talking about this other neighborhood place that we talk. Thanks a Latte. I used to go in there and I still go in there all the time. But I used to go in when they were in their old location and I shared their prayer book. Every day I went, I would take a photo of the prayer book. So if you follow me on Instagram, you know what I'm talking about. Well, they move locations. It's really big, yada, yada, yada. Anyways, that's what started this conversation.
Yeah.
And I was telling Wendy that one day I went in there and I love a sticker. I love a sticker. And one day I went in there and picked out like four or five stickers they had at their counter. And the total was $42. And I just
I told Spencer when
my butthole just about dropped out.
I said, you're about to spend $50. She said, yeah, it was $42.
Literally. That wasn't even with the coffee. That was just the stickers.
Girl, I said, stickers will get you.
I'll take one.
Yeah.
Like, how much are your stickers? And then we were sharing, you know, our mutual love of stickers. Duh. And what I was about to say is that as a kid, and I was wondering if you did the same thing, do you remember? And I forget the brand, but there was a brand of stickers. And when they came on the sheet was already hole punched. And you could buy like the three book, ring the binder. Book,
and it was little with a snap. It was kind of jelly, right? It wasn't a hard one. It was kind of like that floppy.
Yeah, I think so. I remember the stickers more than the binder. I just remember like collecting the sheets of stickers. And I'll be damned if you used any of those stickers. I would make my mom buy me two sheets of each kind. One for using and one for collecting. Because I just like to look at things. And I said, this is the story of my whole life. Mm-hmm. Because my whole life, I'm actually about to show you a picture on air.
Of what? Your garage.
You already know.
I already know. And I'm already going to have a conniption. I already know.
No, you're going to die.
I know I'm going to die.
You should actually see my car too currently.
Mm-hmm. Let me see your garage. Bitch. Spencer, let me also see if there's anything.
Just zoom in. You like the start of my shop back there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That leads me to my next question. What are you doing with all this? You're going to open a shop?
I sell it.
I know that, but
I keep it. I sell it. A lot of it is stuff that I just have to put up around my house that I haven't.
Spencer.
No, it's crazy.
We need to pause you for a moment.
I can't. You never know when you're going to find something.
I agree. And I love a good thrift. I do. I love a find, but ma'am. Holy
There's
mackerel.
Tables in there and chairs. Those take up a lot of
space. I was in there last summer when it wasn't quite that
Those take up a lot of space.
The retail space.
Those take up a lot of space. You know, tables, chairs. I got like some cane bamboo chairs in there.
The thing about, I saw that. It actually looked kind of cute. I might have to swing by the shop and see what we got going on. Where was I going to say? Hold on. How do you know what you have? Because last year
I don't. That's been part. That's been part of the excitement. Because as I've been unpacking, I'm like, I forgot about this.
Wow.
It's like shopping twice.
You don't want to park in your garage?
I don't care about parking in my garage.
In this weather? I'm being extra for that.
I've already made it a year.
That's right. You have.
The problem is I never should have had a Christmas party last year because I set my garage up as an extension of the space. And then once that happened, I never went back to parking in my garage.
It's a living space. Like, this is a living space is what that is.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. Well, okay.
Listen, don't judge me.
I'm not judging. I am a little bit.
I'm sick in the head.
I am a little bit judging. That's okay. It's fine. I'm sick in the head, too.
I have this, and you have your junk journal.
I do have a junk journal. Hey, I'm going to make a reel on this, y'all, because I've seen more people sharing these things. And I shared this thing a good year ago, and she's coming along.
No, she's
super fun.
She's thick.
And she is thick. Mm-hmm. And it's going to close one day, and I'm loving it. Okay, so speaking of stick in the head. So obviously I posted a reel. Yeah. Vertigo.
Yeah.
It Vertigo. Was the craziest thing that I've ever had in my entire life from like a medical perspective. And I've had surgery. I've had whatever. I've not had a lot of medical stuff, but this was by far like the scariest, most crazy thing ever. Yeah. And I was, you know, there's only so much you can relay in a video versus not, and I was telling clients because I only worked a couple of days last week because, you know, I went in on, I think, Wednesday.
I'm impressed you were even able to do that.
I know. I went in one of the days and Mike drove me because I still couldn't drive. You know, the world was still spinning, but I was like, I'm going to go to work. One thing your girl is not is lazy. I'm just not. I go stir crazy. I want to work. Yeah. And, you know, whatever. And so Mike took me and
Did you warn your clients beforehand?
Yes, of course I did.
I have debilitating vertigo. Yeah, but
What?
Oh.
What did your dad say? Did he say you can go play outside? Okay. You just ratted him out. Yeah, put your rain jacket on. Don't ride through mud puddles. And the dance moves of it all, honey. Okay, go. All right, love you. Put your rain boots on and don't be getting crazy on. Okay, go. Hola.
He's so
it's your adios, actually. Shut the door. Okay.
Did he fall? I don't know.
That was a crash. I don't hear crying. I think we're good.
It's fine. Okay. He's so your child.
He is so my child. That dance move, he always does that. And it's so
always
funny.
Looking for an audience.
I know, always. Yeah. He's like, wait, what? Y'all are. they can't see you, Fisher. Get moving, buddy.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
It's the fact that we'll laugh and relay what he just did.
And he's like, I win.
That's all he cares about.
I win.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mike took me and then I went in for, I thought I was going to do a full day. I did barely two clients and they were like, you don't look right. I was like, I'm not right. I got to go. So then my mom came to pick me up. And then the room started spinning slower and slower each day and I powered through and I was good. So here we are. But I know exactly the moment that it hit last Friday. And Thursday night I went to this like,
I saw like a Galentine's type Galentine's
what's it called? A book exchange. I'm telling y'all, I might have brain damage. She did a neuro exam and she said I don't, but I'm not convinced. So I went to that and I haven't drank in a while. And I like, we've talked about this. Like I haven't drank that much kind of in general. So I had a margarita and I'm thinking, oh, that's why I had like a tunnel vision moment, you know, where like it was weird, but I was like, oh, it's probably because I had that margarita. And to be clear, it was like a little bitty, like sugary. Nothing. Well, it was sugary too. So I was like, that's probably what it is. So that was on Thursday night. Well, then Friday I get up, I go to work for one client. Then I'm like cleaning my room because I like to organize and like do content on Fridays in my room. And again, I had a couple moments where I was like, God, I just feel off, but whatever. Well, every Friday we order pizza and I was like so hungry. And then the pizza came and I was so mad that I didn't get that much because I thought I was about to eat it up, you know, lots of pieces of it. I get like two little pieces and I was like, I'm good. So then I go in my room and I'm playing my little game on my iPad. It's like, old lady. Should I have said that? Yeah, anyway. But then I was like, I'm hungry. So I went back in there. It was like 9:15 to get another piece of pizza. One of those little Olipop, like grape, you know, drinks.
Yeah.
And as soon as I was standing in my kitchen, it was like those crystals must have broke off in my ear. You know, that makes your equilibrium, right?
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, like I got really dizzy and I was like, this is weird. But like much like a computer, you know, you like unplug it. I'm like, I'm gonna sleep it off. So I went straight to bed, put my phone, put my iPad away, and I like went to bed because I was like,
that was me last night.
Oh, well, I'm thinking this is
but not
work.
Vertigo, but
just needing to. Well, I had like heart patterns or whatever.
Sick to my stomach, nauseous last night. That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. Well, it was shot night. Oh, yes. Saturday. So like my heart was fluttering. I was like, whatever, I'm going to bed. And then I was like, I hope I don't die. And I didn't. I woke up almost dead.
And hope I don't die.
Yeah. Saturday. Was Valentine's Day and honey, the room was twirling. And again, I was like, this is not right. And it was to the point where I shouldn't have drove. I almost didn't want to say I drove to the laundromat because I wanted to wash my ruggable in the living room. And when I got to that laundromat and popped my trunk to get that rug out, I had to run back over to my side of the door. I threw up everywhere.
Ugh.
And then I was like, okay, weird. So I texted Mike. I was like, okay, something's not right. He's like, do you need me to come get you? I was like, yes. And then I was like, wait, do I feel better? So then I walked back. No, nope, back over. I threw up again. Standing beside my car. I was like, this is not right. So I had to go back home. So then from there, I got in bed and I stayed in like the fetal position literally for 3 full days with my head down. And then I went to the doctor on Saturday because it was so bad. And just walking from the chair, my mom took me to the chair to the door. She's like, okay, look side to side, look up and down. I said, I'm going to need a bag. My mom's sitting there, the doctor, I don't care. Threw up in the bag. It was so bad. Shut the door, baby. Shut the door, bye. God. Thank you. And he was still standing there. Like, what is he listening in on? The rest of my story.
Yeah.
He didn't want to miss it. Is she going to say something about me?
Yeah.
But then from there, it just was bad. Getting up to go to the bathroom.
By the way, I can hear Mike talking. Mike's not asleep.
He probably was like semi-napping. He was laying in the bed.
He was pretending.
He was. He was like, don't ask me anything. Go ask your mom.
Yeah.
Classic. So from there, it was like literally going to the bathroom, throw up, doing this, throw up. I mean, it was crazy. I hope, I'm not joking when I say I'm meaning this quite literally. I hope and pray to God I never have that happen again. Because even the medications only assist with it. It can't. There's nothing that can make it go away other than resetting it. I've only had
vertigo once, and it was not as severe as what you were experiencing, but it was pretty fucking awful.
Miserable.
And it was like, when I had it, obviously it was anytime I tried to move is mm-hmm. when it got really bad. Mm-hmm. But even if I wasn't moving, I had that spinny, uneasy, yeah. almost like when you're really drunk.
That's what I said. It was like I was hammered.
And you finally stop mm-hmm. moving for the night and you're like, oh no, like swimmy yeah. feeling.
Mm-hmm. That's what I told the doctor. I said, it's like I was hammered. And she's like, yeah, you have very classic. And when I had the flu, because that's what she's thinking it came from, luckily that there's something it can be tied to, I kept complaining about my left ear and it hurt. I kept telling my mom the pipe inside my ear, like the tube hurt so bad. And when I went to the doctor, before I even told her that, she saw fluid behind my ear. So like I kept trying to do those exercises to recalibrate and reset it. Y'all, I was trying anything, like anything. The day that I went into work and people were like, you don't look okay. You're like, your eyes don't look right. That was the day Mike drove me. One of the stylists next door, she was telling me to put like salt in a, y'all, I put salt in a white cotton sock, put it in the microwave, and put it on my ear. I was trying anything. I did like the Himalayan salt because it extracts water.
Well, yeah, when you're...
I didn't care.
Puking just from getting up to go to the bathroom, you'll try just about anything.
Right. It was miserable. And so anyway, all this to say, should all acquaintance be forgot? Yes, because I'm... all the way done with 2026. Okay. It's February. I had the flu. Then we had snow. Then we had ice. Then I had vertigo. I'm like, And the little wiener whacker.
Oh, yes. Have we seen anything?
Three things are done. Like, I got that, and that. We're done. Like, I'm done. Don't bad things happen in threes?
Yeah.
Upwards.
Oh, neat.
Oh, wait. I can't
maybe,
say that.
Yeah. Maybe rethink that. Good thing we're not on video.
Yeah.
Have we seen Mr. Wiener? Mm-mm. As of late.
Mm-mm.
That's great.
The cops have been called a couple of times because he's been like kind of hanging. We think it's the same dude hanging around. So now we've got our Ring cameras. We have stickers up everywhere. And there's now a no trespassing sign on there. Okay. Also really quick, I have a lot of brain fog and I'm scared to take my Concerta because I don't want to trigger anything. I've barely had caffeine. I live for an Alani. I go to bed thinking about an Alani or a Celsius. I'm not kidding. It makes me happy. I swear on my dad's grave, I go to bed. And when I think about it, it makes me like,
that's caffeine.
Happy. Yeah. I have not really had any cause I'm too afraid. I was reading like what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Avoid salty foods, you know, whatever. And
you're
saying
like afraid for the vertigo to come back?
Yes. So apparently it's a real thing. Like people get anxiety thinking it's going to come back. And I know that'll go away. It's just because it's so fresh.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't really drank a lot of caffeine.
I got some clonazepam if you want one.
What is that?
It's a benzo. Take the edge off. You won't be so anxious.
And the
benzo
with the windows up when the tent goes up to Slim Shady.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. No, I'm scared to take anything foreign. I have been taking my Mary Ruth's again, finally. Like I didn't obviously when I was dying. How's that now? Oh, we got a little, what's it called? I'm telling you.
The brain died.
Catch up.
I don't think I have.
Touch baser. What's it called?
What?
When you like check in with something.
Oh, a touch base?
I was going to say touch base. That doesn't sound right. Anyways.
A follow up.
A follow up. That's the one. We need to talk about Spencer's Nutrafol experience because I made her the last time take a pill.
Yes. Fine. I mean, I think it's going to take a little while before I really notice any.
But it was not great is what I'm getting. Remember how I told you how nasty it
was? Oh, the flavor. Better than the Mary Ruth's.
Ew, whatever. You're like, ew, it's not good. It's burning. And you were right. It does have a burning throat sensation.
It's not good, but it's not like, I don't take the Nutrafol and think, this is bad. Mm. It does leave a less than desirable, lingering...
some fish oil.
Aroma, like cloud of flavor in your mouth.
Let me see your ring.
And
is that your fake ring?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure is.
Take it off. Let me see. She's got a big old bling ring. I'm gonna need to try this thing home, girl. Beautiful.
Thanks.
Get that out one of was town.
That one was Etsy. Look how big it is on your finger, and it is
beautiful.
And this one I thrifted.
Let me see. Thrifted. Yeah, is bitch. She real?
Yeah, bitch. Listen, I'm. Look at my fucking fingers, the indents.
Wait, I need this.
Listen, here's the thing. I keep losing fluff in my fingers and my rings don't fit. So I'm not buying nothing expensive until
I'm obsessed.
I'm that. Like at one.
And I love the thrifted one.
I know. And she pretty.
Yeah.
Dorcas.
Dork.
Dorky dork ass.
I'm obsessed. That is so cute. I love so, that. You know, if anyway,
you,
sorry.
If I ever show my face on stories and you see me with new rings.
It's not a new husband.
They're temporary.
Contrary to two episodes ago. Like, wow, you really did kick him to the curb.
So, listen. He won't listen to this, so it's fine. When I was on my medication before my hysterectomy, and it was really fucking with my hormones, when I tell you, I was like, divorce.
Oh yeah.
I was daydreaming about being single. I said, I hate this person.
Oh man.
I hate this life. I hate everything. As soon as I came off of it, fine.
Really?
When I can't even just, I mean, obviously like every marriage has issues and like, you know, we talked about it two episodes ago, communication, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It was not like that. It was so different. It was like, I was dead set. I was, it really fucked with my head.
I remember.
And I'm thinking talking. Like, how many marriages end because women are hormonal?
A medication marriage ended. Yeah.
Not just women, but you know, but I'm just saying it really, I'm pretty level headed. It really was fucking with my head. And I didn't realize it until I wasn't taking it anymore. And some time had passed and I was like,
oops.
Huh. I don't quite feel the same way I felt 6 months ago.
And maybe that's because, maybe that's why they make people wait a year to get divorced in North Carolina, honey. You cannot just go get divorced. You got to wait a whole year of separation.
Maybe.
And it's the cool off period. And maybe it's like, hey, are you on medication? Because you might not feel the same. Or you might, might become more ragey and kill him. We don't know.
Facts.
The jury's out. Okay. Hopefully speaking of jury out, Love is Blind. Let's just get into it. Wowzers.
I love that I said last week or 2 weeks ago when we recorded that I didn't think that I'd be able to watch the show because I hated it so much. And then immediately when I saw new episodes, threw her on. But the sentiment still stands. I hate this show.
Yeah.
And that says a lot for me. Junkie of all reality TV. I love it all.
Do you hate like, because I hear you and like I think the show is so stupid. I don't hate the show from a like watching perspective because I don't watch a ton of stuff. Like when you were asking me the other day, I've thought about this multiple times for some reason when you're like, what do you watch?
Because she literally watches nothing.
I don't watch anything. And really, I've literally thought about that since we recorded 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, God, I really don't. Other than like at nighttime watching like Young Sheldon or Mom or Reba, or I don't watch a lot of real time stuff. So for me,
have you watched Free Bert with Mike yet?
No, not yet. But I did add it to my okay. list.
But, it's a quick watch. You can literally watch all the episodes in 2 hours.
Okay. But anyway, so for me to watch Love is Blind real time even was like crazy that I would do that because I don't.
it's like you don't make time for that. Yeah. You don't prioritize.
I'm not
it.
A TV person. I'm doing other things.
That's such a foreign concept to me.
Right. Because yesterday I cleaned my house all day. I like mopped and I did it. And it felt so good to do it. I had my back door open and the screen. Oh my God. I loved it. I really.
You could not walk into my
house
right now.
When I tell you yesterday multiple times, y'all, I'm not kidding. Almost in tears of how good I felt and how appreciative I was that I felt good. I'm not joking. Like I literally was like,
I believe it. After
I felt so happy that I could like do that, and it like literally made me stop and be like, I am so happy that I want to mop my floor and like do this. Seriously, it sounds so stupid.
You sound like such a like psycho. Repressed housewife.
Yeah. I feel like a psycho. I'm psycho
so
killer.
Grateful That's me. That I can mop my house.
Oh my God. Seriously, ew. And that is not me, honey. But anyway, so the fact that I would dedicate time to it, it's like I think the show is so freaking stupid. The people normally get on my nerves, but I still like the show. Like I don't hate the show as from like a viewer, but I like, what is it that you hate? Like you just don't enjoy the show? Like I guess I enjoy it, but I think it's stupid. There.
Well, and
it
here's, and it, you know, it's a catch 22. I obviously hate myself most of all because I subject myself to things that I don't like. I don't like the production of the show. I don't like their weird lighting. Mm-hmm. I don't like the formatting of. Oh my God, I literally didn't know what that was. Would you like to share with the class?
Did y'all hear that?
I guarantee you the mics did not pick it up.
Oh, I'm gonna be so mad if it didn't. Anyways, I tooted. Speaking of that sweet little housewife.
Tooted.
It was long.
No, I didn't know what it was at
first. You were
first.
Talking for a good 4 seconds of it.
It sounded like a growl and then it had that
it was
the uptick at the end. That's what gave it away.
Then you knew.
Then I knew. And maybe it's because we've gotten a look inside the kitchen.
Yeah.
So to speak, like we know the recipe now. We know how it's made. Like I almost feel like maybe it would be better if we didn't have an engagement on the very first episode, knowing that all the engagements happen on the same day of production. Like, it's almost, and I love a good fourth wall drop.
I know, same.
It's almost like there's too much now. Yeah. And so
ignorance is definitely bliss in a lot. You and I talked about this after the podcast. Sometimes not knowing things is better for everybody in general. Yeah. And that's good, bad, or the ugly, whatever. But I agree. If you know too much about it, the whole time you're watching it, you're skeptical because you're like, well, I already know that this is going to pan out. You already know that engagements are already going to happen.
And I think everybody's different, right? Like some people like the episodes outside of the pods and hate the pod episodes. I'm fascinated by the pod episodes. I'm fascinated by the cultivation of these relationships and how much crossover there is that we never really hear or know about. There's so much in the dynamics of all these people.
Well, I think
I wish there was more of that and less of the drama and the fighting after. I get that, like, they're like,
well, they should have two parts to this season. If we should have the pods first, I think the pods, because there's so many people that are still in the pods that we don't learn about. Like they don't get any camera time. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. So like, it'd be cool if the pods were like, I don't know, however many weeks, 4 weeks or something, like really long periods, right? Where you really
get,
like, you got to be like messy tied to somebody, right? Like you have so much more time to do that. And we watch that and buy into whatever it is. And then like a second part of it where they go out in the real world and then it becomes like, because I do find it entertaining because I think it's
hilarious.
From the
drama perspective, after the pod episodes, they're...
Yeah.
They're interesting, but I think like compared to like the very first season of the show, they've leaned so to where we are now, season 10, they've leaned so hard into the typical reality drama and they really focus on that. And I don't think that they're casting for relationships anymore. I think they're casting for TV.
They're not casting for relationships.
It's just like, I miss what the show was in the beginning.
Well, I think to be fair, it's not even that they're just casting for the drama. I think people went after the show to get famous, and it was a really easy way for average people that were single to get chosen, because they do pick such a big group. We just don't see all of them. So the messier you are, the more, you know, it's like a double-edged sword for them too. Like, they're just getting in there. So it's like production. But more specifically, I do feel like the last few episodes, last few seasons are like, hey, the messiest, most terrible people, let's do.
Oh.
But do you think Emma sounds like Miley awful. Cyrus, and that Alex sounds like Nick Lachey? Alex sounds identical to Nick Lachey.
Okay, wait, who? I don't know anybody's names.
Alex is extensive resume. The liar.
Okay.
He sounds identical to Nick Lachey. Watching that show, that is all I can hear. Do you know?
I didn't hear it just naturally. Now, maybe I would hear it if you played it.
Oh, I'm going to play it, because I swear to God, that's all I could hear about. I mean,
the
here.
Second he started talking about all his shit, I said, this man is a scammer.
Really? You already knew?
He's a scam artist.
Listen.
Oh.
Athletes that have been through this do understand is...
Wait!
That's Nick Lachey.
Everything is gone. It's not just the game.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
The minute he started talking, I would have found his voice attractive. Actually, a lot of these people had very nice voices this year, and their laughs were pretty good until they started giggling and blah, 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 blah. But her, and then the other girl, Emma, sounds like Miley Cyrus to me.
Okay, wait, that is so funny. When you were playing that, it took me a minute. I was like, why is she playing a video of Nick Lachey?
No.
That's nuts.
Isn't that great? That's all I heard the entire season. So I really wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt.
And wait, which one's Emma?
The girl that was adopted with the birthmark on her arm. Oh. Why do I know more people's names this time than you do?
She's a hot mess.
She gets on my freaking nerves. You got to hear her talk. She sounds just like freaking Miley Cyrus to me.
The first night that we were together, we weren't in our room. We were on our patio because there was two men fixing
Have you heard Miley Cyrus speak lately?
Listen.
We started making out and started getting down, and the men were still changing our light bulb. So we kind of had
to. That sounds so much like Miley Cyrus to me. Have I heard her lately? No. Did she change her voice? She's got that kind of like.
Miley sounds like this. I mean, she's like.
I mean, yeah, she sounds like she eats cigarettes, but.
No, if you took her voice down like a few octaves, then yeah, maybe you'd have Miley.
Okay.
But speaking of Emma.
Yeah. She's annoying.
Well, yes, wildly so. The fact that this man and her got together when she is so undecided about having children, leaning no.
Right.
And it is his one non-negotiable. Sir, are you dumb?
Yeah, he is. That's when I think people want to just be on the show, because kids are a deal breaker for 99.9% people. Rarely does it ever work in this situation that somebody's like, no.
And
his family was like, this is huge. Like
this is the most important thing to this man in his life.
And to them.
Is getting to be a father. And he picks the one girl who's the most steadfast in not wanting to have children.
Right.
And she softened as the show has gone on. Because she's trying to placate. She's not. She does not want kids, which also I did find it very interesting this season. All the men are like,
yep,
children, children, children.
And the women are like,
And the women are like, I could take them or leave them. Very interesting.
It is,
So a very hot topic online right now in regard to the show is the meeting of Emma's family and Emma's sister. So Emma's sister, they're talking about, you know, the difficulties of having children. Like, having children is hard. You lose a lot in your life. But, you know, because they're having the whole kid discussion, whatever.
Yeah.
And her sister basically says, if I were to go back in time and redo my life, I probably wouldn't have had kids.
Yeah.
People are losing their shit. And of course, it's all the women that are moms.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, this whore.
Yeah.
How can you say that? Your poor children. People are really losing it.
Because that's a really shitty thing to say.
Maybe you don't. Maybe this is the difference of somebody with no children hearing it and somebody with children. You can't imagine ever going back and changing your life. But look at the circumstances with your kid. He's healthy. He's normal, relatively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
No, he's healthy. He's normal. You know, you haven't had any like crazy weird challenges with him. Mm-hmm. We don't know her kids. We haven't met her kids. So I don't.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I have clients that have, two of them specifically have kids that are terminally ill. One of them is in like a special bed. He functions like a 2-year-old. He's 15. Mm-hmm. Very, very hard. She doesn't even sleep through the night still. And he's, you know, older.
Yeah.
Still wouldn't go back. You don't go back and want to erase your kid. I don't care what challenges come from that. As
but I don't
a mom,
think she's saying, but I didn't interpret what she was saying as that. I didn't interpret it as her as like, wishing she could go back and
no,
do it again.
But if you could go back and say you wouldn't, again, I still find that on the same line. No, she's not wishing her kids away. But also, like, once you become a mom and have your kids, I feel like that's a very strange thing to be like, yeah, if I could do it again, I wouldn't do it. You're essentially, it's what, one in the hand and what is it? One, six, half dozen and six and six, okay? I don't know. I think that's a weird thing to say.
I understand what you're saying, because I do agree. I think it would be odd to say, like, I wish I didn't have my kids, or like, if
or
that
even
was,
if you want to say
that
the other
was,
way.
I was, I guess I heard it differently. Like, I think I heard it as she did not know her children, her future children.
Right.
They didn't exist. They didn't have personality. She didn't have any tie to them, right? Mm-hmm. If she were to know what her life would look like as a mother and the challenges that would come with it, if she had had that foresight, but not any of the emotional ties, mm-hmm. would she have chosen to have kids? Probably not.
Right. But the fact is, she's a mom and has kids and has emotional ties, makes it so effed up. I agree.
I don't know.
If I
don't see it that way.
25 and said, but it really might be because you don't have, it's hard for me to.
But that's
think,
why I'm
yeah.
curious because yeah. like,
and
I,
maybe it is that.
I don't know.
When I was 25, like, I'm sure there were certain points in my life when I was single and thinking, God, what if I never have kids? Like, for me at that moment, yeah, it'd be easy to envision one way or the other. But when you become a mom, I don't care what challenges come with your kid. I don't know of any mom that was like, you know, man, if I could redo it again, I don't think I would. That's a really strange thing to say. So I haven't heard about like the drama.
Yeah.
Obviously, I totally understand that as a mom. It's different if you've never experienced it. Like if she were hypothetically speaking, but you're not, you have experienced it. So to go back, imagine your parents saying, and you hear this one day and like, oh yeah, given the chance that I could do this again. Yeah, I wouldn't do it. So maybe she's not saying, I wish I didn't, but you basically are. It's, like I said, the hand
in
the
dozen. I don't know. Like even I think like if I were to hear one of my parents say that, I don't think it would upset me. They're not saying that they regret me or that they don't wish.
But are they? But are they not?
No, I don't think they are. I think
I don't. Why wouldn't they do it again? If they don't regret having you, why wouldn't they do it again?
Because their life could have been other things that they didn't get to experience. It doesn't mean right. that they hate their life the way it is.
Right, but it's not as good as they wanted it to be because you're here.
Or it's just different. It would have been a different experience for them. Not that it would have been better or worse. It just would have been different. Who knows what your life could bring?
Maybe. I don't know. Because you experience it when you don't have kids. You get to see what that life is like. And if that's the life that you loved, you should have never had kids. Sorry. Is that what I said? I just think that's a weird thing to say as a mom. Like, to... Because you're basically given a chance, like, you know what? That was actually better than what I have now. Why wouldn't you redo it? Like, yes, it's different, but it enriches your life. It's better. It's different in a better way. But you're saying, not you, her, people. It's different in a way that you would rather have it that way. Yeah, it's easier. What? Okay. Don't have kids. Now I'm going to be in her comments, honey. I'm coming sideways. And I'm not doing it for my burner.
I'd be willing to bet there's probably a lot of people that feel the way she does, but they're not brave enough to
act. For sure.
Not even brave enough to say it out loud. They're not honest enough with themselves to admit it or say it out loud. I don't know. I think.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
Is it like for somebody like you, is it relatable or do you understand it? No. And I totally get that too. I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm just saying, the way people are demonizing her for saying it, I don't think is fair.
I think it's very different.
I think it makes people uncomfortable. And so they're like dogpiling on her.
Yeah. I think it's different. A kid versus like a spouse or something else. Like the kid is part of you. Like that's, you know, and as a mother, becoming a mom changes you. It literally changes the makeup of you, you know, the hormones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas like, I know people sometimes are like, oh, I dated so-and-so. I could have been happy here. I could have been happy here. Two different lives. That's a little different to me where like you could visualize your life this way or that way. You know what I'm saying? Like that's very different than a child, which some people might be like, that's hypocritical maybe. But like when you have a baby and it's your child, you made that decision. You brought them into the world, whatever. Whereas like a relationship, I totally see how people are like, oh, I could have had two different lives. I could have gone this way and that way. And given the chance, I might've would have gone that way. Totally understand that. Totally understand that. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I'm just
saying, I'm lighting up her comments later, honey. I got plans.
I'm done. I mean, but it's kind of crazy. And I kind of figured most moms are probably going to agree with you.
Yeah.
But as I said, I bet you there's probably a lot of
people that feel that way.
Honest, one of my greatest fears about having children, and this is somebody who grew up with a special needs sibling and watched how difficult it was many times and how challenging, financially draining, all the things it was on my family.
Yeah.
One of my biggest apprehensions about having children was having a child with severe special needs.
Absolutely. Because
I didn't want to regret having a child if that's the child that I ended up with.
Yeah.
I also have absolutely no judgment. Her children are not special needs that we know of. So I'm not even saying this is kind of, taking a turn on the conversation, but I couldn't judge a parent who's like, I wish I didn't have this child. I hear it, and maybe it's because my lived experience is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Having grown up with my brother.
Yeah.
There's no judgment for me. I could hear a parent say that and also know that parent fiercely loves that child, but can also regret it at the same time. I think two things can be true.
I don't know about that part. For me, I don't know, because if you love something so much, you're not going to regret it. That's not going to be a regret for my kid. I've had a conversation
I think it's nuanced.
She listens to the show. I'm not going to say her name because of what I'm about to say. But hey, girl, she and I have had talks before, and getting older and having kids, you have a higher risk of having a child with special needs. She and I both have said, and this might be taboo, one of the reasons why I didn't want another kid, I didn't want to test my luck. Yeah. I was like that, but that does not mean that I would have regretted it. It's just a harder life, and having one healthy child, and what a blessing that was. I don't take that for granted. My mom's youngest sister, and my aunt listens to this too. So not her, but their youngest sister, she has, cerebral palsy. She's in a wheelchair my whole life. Very challenging. She will never live on her own.
Yeah.
She can't. So I grew up very close to that too. And never once did her mom go, I regret that. You know, I think as a mom, again, it changes you. And when you have a child, when you experience that, it's just like they say, you cannot experience any love greater than that. It is a part of you. I still look at Fisher sometimes and think, that is so crazy that he's part of it. It's wild. Yeah. And you and I have had conversations on and off the podcast about this. I don't ever think it's fair to throw the sentiment to somebody, well, you don't know because you don't have kids. But I really do believe this is one of those things that moms probably feel it very deeply of if you genuinely and truly have the mother's love, you would never.
Yeah.
I don't care. You could ask a mom that had a stillborn, and I have a client like that, and I'll ask her, because she and I have deep conversations, I'll ask her and just kind of see where her take is, because maybe that would change my mind. But I'd be curious as to, she gave birth to a stillborn baby, And she has another little boy now, or he's grown up now. But I would be curious as to, do you regret that? Do you regret the pregnancy? Because she got to have the baby, see him and hold him, but he was passed. Like, even then, I don't know that she would say. I think that
it would be very different though.
Why?
In my head.
It's not like an ideal, perfect, happy baby though, if that's the argument people are making.
No, but it doesn't.
Have lifelong challenges that a special needs kid would?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's still I can't even say that you don't have lifelong impact from that, because of course you do.
You do, but I'm saying the day-to-day wouldn't be
correct.
The,
yeah. It's a little bit different. So, I mean, I don't know that there's like a fair comparison between the two. And I can't know, like what you're saying, like once you're a mom, like your perception of that that bond would be different. I obviously can't put myself in those shoes. But to be fair,
me either. I can't. But, and listen, if you have a special need, like as a mom, because yeah. I can't speak to that either. So like, to be fair, I don't know. Like I do have a happy, healthy child, and that is not anything to be taken for granted. Like if yeah. you are a mom, let's do this. If you're a mom and you have a special needs kid, what is your take? I would be super curious if yeah. someone could write in, because I can't speak to that either. So to be completely fair, tell us. Yeah, and we won't judge you, I promise.
Yeah, I am. Well, I am just curious because, like, as I said, I watch the struggles and the hardships that my parents, I mean, yeah. you know, not that it would be fair to put this all on my brother, but like, I think the strain, the challenges that having a child, and we're talking early 90s, like my right. parents were basically told to like put him in an institution and walk away. Mm-hmm. Which they did not do. Right. And thank God for that, because he's like a very functional adult human. But it totally ruined their marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, it completely ruined their marriage. It made our family dynamic really difficult. It made everything difficult. Mm-hmm. So if my parents were to say, you know, that's why I think I'm also viewing it from like that perspective. Mm-hmm. Like if my parents were to say, like, would we have had another child mm-hmm. if we knew, had the forethought or the foreshadowing of what challenges would be? Probably not. To me, I don't interpret that as any kind of regret, just why would I knowingly make my life more challenging or difficult? It doesn't mean I regret right. that. I think that was the point. And maybe but I'm
that's
not
life.
Articulating
that's life. Drinking and driving. Sure. Had I not drink, not me, but like,
because
if
realistically we know that's not an option, right? It's not an option to have that foreshadow.
No, but and it's like, also a risk. Everything you know, comes with a risk. Having yeah. children, have kids responsibly. Know that all, oops, it's empty. My coffee's empty, but that could have been so bad. You know, when you have babies,
mind you, I was thinking about your calendar and not our very expensive equipment.
The $5 calendar from yeah. Target that I don't even hardly use.
My first thing was like, not the calendar.
The road calendar.
Yeah.
You know, having kids like comes with every risk involved. You know that there's a potential that they could
yeah.
do this, this, and this, you know? And so it is just one of those things when you're having kids, something to consider. And I, like I said, I have, like, I've thought about it, like having a child, it's like, oh, not going to test my luck. And that was not the only reason. Like I wasn't old when I had Fisher and I hated being pregnant, but I always thought I'd have a boy and a girl. That's how yeah. life is. And then as the reality set in and I had a healthy baby and you at some of the anxiety when you're pregnant, and I didn't like being pregnant. And then the older you get, the risk factors go up. And if things run in your family, yeah. I mean, all these things to consider that I considered, and I had one kid, you know, a multitude of reasons why.
Sure.
But that was definitely part of it. And I've had this conversation, like I said, with one client in particular, but several just across, you know, the years or whatever, but I don't know. That's life. You know, there is a risk with everything. And if you weigh out everything hypothetically, do you know how many things I would have changed?
Like, oh, I know.
Because of regret or however we want to paint it. Like,
but, and it's this kind of shit. Like, this is why I put off having a kid for so long, was because I couldn't get out of the like analysis paralysis. Mm-hmm. And now I'm kind of going through this, like a similar thing where it's like, okay, we've talked about like, is adoption something that we would consider and like viable, like how certain are we that we want to have children to the point where like we would do like go the adoption route mm-hmm. or consider it or whatever. And it's like my paralysis didn't stop with me actually having the child.
Yeah.
It's the, cause then now it's like, okay, well I've got no control over how this bun was baked in the oven yeah. and what those genes look like. And is that a risk I'm willing to take on? And it's like, okay, so it just never ends. So,
and look to like, I'm going to your point,
I'm going to be 80 years old being like,
I think I'm ready.
Is it too late?
Yep. I never made that decision. And I actually swear to you, just maybe 2 weeks ago, last week, I don't know, had the conversation. I don't know what it was like to try to get pregnant. It just happened 2 months after we got yeah. married. And when my dad passed, I got pregnant.
I do believe there was some divine intervention.
There absolutely was. And I believe that it had to happen that way because everything lined up the way that it did when it shouldn't have. And it did. So to the point of what you're making, I don't know that I ever would have been like, okay, I want to try now. Like, I don't think I would have naturally yeah. gotten there. I don't, because it is scary and my brain does wander and my brain does think about what you're thinking. And I knew of the risks involved and I yeah. took those into consideration and all that. I don't know, Spencer, I could have been sitting here too, just like you. Do you know what I mean? Really? And been like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it too late? And like, cause I didn't have to make that decision. And I literally just had that conversation the other day. I'm like, I'm so glad I don't know. I feel very lucky that I don't know the struggles of like wanting to get pregnant and wanting to have a baby yeah. and couldn't do it. Like, it just happened. Everybody's life happens. But I think the beautiful thing in all this, to be really corny, is that that's what makes us who we are. Those decisions. Those decisions come with challenges and hardships, and it makes you a better person, hopefully, usually. but it does.
Yeah.
And life experiences do, because in no matter what decision we have ever made, you can go, well, I could do this or I could do that. What if I wouldn't have moved to Florida? What if I would have moved back a year later? What if I would? There are so many things that we can go back and do. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. you can do that your whole life. And I don't know. But homegirl about the kid thing, it does bother me. And I think she's a lot out of left field. Okay.
Well, that conversation really spiraled. So we'll just circle back to Love is Blind.
Yeah.
There was that drama. And then what was the other thing I was going to bring up with you?
With the Love is Blind?
Yeah.
Well, there's been several little things. So obviously we made the joke earlier, but it's not a joke. Alex being all over the place with everything. Like, dude is like ping ponging it everywhere. What?
That's what I was going to bring up.
Okay, go.
I sent you a TikTok.
Oh.
I don't think you saw it. Mm-mm. Supposedly, somebody is sharing information behind the scenes that he's in incredible gambling debt and is actually like, I hate to use the term homeless or unhoused, but doesn't have.
He's a little nomad.
He's a little nomadic currently. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the idea of going on a show, having some free rent and board, finding himself a lady, sounded kind of appealing.
And he changed his name too, right? Was it Alec? And now it's Alex.
Oh, I didn't hear
that.
You
didn't see that?
No.
So apparently his name was actually Alec something, and he changed it to Alex, whatever it was. I don't know.
But that, her too, she's pathetic to me. The fact that she, and listen, sex is great, cool. If you love it, good for you. Like, yeah. It's her only focus and concern in the relationship. It's the only connection they have. They're like, all they see with one another is the physical. I don't get them.
And then
as,
he's not even doing that at that point, at the end of it. So it's
really, right.
That's just it. Y'all don't like each other.
No.
You're not compatible. I'm like,
tell me you're insecure without telling me you're insecure. The fact that she only cares about him touching her and them having sex, I just like, and I don't know.
Well, physical touch is her thing. Physical touch is her thing. Physical touch it's not mine, but it is hers. I'm good. Don't touch me. Don't even get your sweaty ass chin off my leg.
That's my love language.
Melting in the bed. Get off my leg. I don't need it. Unless you want to run my back or my
physical
foot.
Physical touch is like all the little things. It's the caresses. It's the hair touch. It's the hand holding. Mm-hmm.
Get away. Stop pinching my boob.
Right. That is the love language of physical touch. Mm-hmm. Just being like, I want to fuck 24/7. Right. No, you are like, looking for validation from this man that you find extremely attractive because you have a beak for a nose. I said it.
She has great hair.
Great hair.
Love her hair. I was actually impressed.
From the front, she's gorgeous. She turns to the side.
I was very happy about the hair this year. I'm just saying.
And that was really mean. I should probably cut that, but I'm not going to.
Don't. They didn't put no hair sauce on here, I saw. I don't think I didn't see that. Although we didn't have a very good run at it last season. Annie, thanks.
I probably should cut that out, right?
I don't know. Should you?
I don't know, guys. Should I cut it out? That was mean. I'm sorry for saying she has a beak for a nose.
It is what it is.
You could say a lot of things about my physical attributes too. Were you? You were going to say that?
Not about you, but I'm saying that's what I was going to say. People can talk about us. Listen, your girl's face over here is looking dry like a raisin right now.
You know what? She's one of the prettier people on the show. There you go. That was nice.
That was nice.
Okay, let's talk about the other girl that's from Grand Rapids, Michigan, because that's my hometown. So, of course, I took an interest in her. She's the one with Connor, who's very nice, and the little Keebler elf guy is interested in her and broke up with the doctor.
And why does one of his... Okay, you were saying the beak... His left ear looks like he's always listening.
We can hate on him because he's little troll.
He's terrible. His left ear always looks like he's spying and listening in on a conversation. Why does it stick out so much further than the other one?
He is so
look
stupid.
At his ear.
I hate him. I hate his
stupid
face.
You see
his
left ear?
Did you see his doctored up profile picture that everybody's sharing?
No.
It is like an AI picture of himself where he's like looks sultry and dark and sexy and he's
AI,
got long
can
hair.
Can y'all please stop posting AI pictures and accepting nice comments when people say you look so beautiful. It ain't you. When I see that, I want spiral into the next galaxy.
It's so fucking funny.
And people are like, oh my God, thank you so much. Lilas, thank you. Thank you. That is an AI okay, go ahead. I know that's not what we're talking about, but I'm just saying. I'm pulling up the cast.
No, it's so funny. Anyways, she's beyond thirsty and honest, and she's one of these girls that's like, I'm so cool, I want to be like one of the boys. At least that's how she's coming off on the show.
Who is she with, the brunette girl?
She's
remind me.
No, she's with he's Connor with, no, he was with the Keebler elf was with the doctor.
Brunette. Yes, the brunette girl, I forget her
yes
name. All right, now Connor is with
who is tiny.
Oh, Breezy. Are you talking about Breezy?
Yes.
Oh my God. And my niece and nephews call me freaking Aunt Breezy. And then she comes on the scene. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
She, yes. Okay.
Is she not the type of like,
one,
I'm
me,
chill.
I'm a dude. I'm one of the boys.
Totally.
I can hang. When she would not sit down about the conversation with Chris, I want to talk to Chris. And why are we not have a deeper conversation? Babe, Chris picked... Y'all ain't together. Why are you so hung up on talking deeper into Chris?
I am sure she is fun and nice and whatever, totally normal in person. But the way that she is being presented on the show, whether that is her own behavior, the pressure of being on TV, the weirdness of the experiment, I don't know. The night where she could not let up on the fact that we had all these relationships with people. Everybody's just having shallow conversations.
That's what I'm just talking about. That's what I was talking about when she would not shut up about wanting to talk to Chris.
I actually really liked her until that night. Ugh. And my whole opinion of her changed at that point.
Yeah.
I will say Robbie called the moment that he heard her on screen and he was like, she's gonna be fucking annoying. And I was like, no way. And then that scene happened. He turns to me and he goes, told you so.
Got it.
I was like, okay.
I loved some of their voices in the beginning and then the giggles. The one couple that's always giggling, the brunette, the nurse, the doctor.
Oh, yeah, with the Keebler elf.
The giggling.
I know.
I just hope
you
they edit it.
She's a doctor and you know, she's cute and she's nice and you know, she's just happy. And if you're going to help sick and dying people all day and can still find a way to be that happy and giggly in your real life, good for you.
Spencer, shut up.
I'm trying to make up for the beat comment.
No. That was not who I'm talking about.
I know.
Oh, you're being nice. Okay. Yeah.
Just good karma.
I'm so sorry. I got it. Sorry, I'm scrolling through the people. Jessica was the girl that we're just talking about. The giggles.
Jessica.
The
giggles. Jessica. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then.
Who, like, sorry she's busy saving lives and can't go to Pilates every day. You fuck.
Lit.
Oh, are we allowed to say?
Yeah, I'm short. I can. Yeah, you can.
Okay. Well, this episode's going to get me canceled. It's
no,
fine.
It's not. We are both. We've said worse. You have for sure.
Bitch.
No, I'm sure I have as well. Like, are you kidding me?
Go. I apologize if we can't say. I need to get this out.
No, you don't. You're fine. Tyler.
Who's he?
Tyler. She.
Oh, who's she? I told you I don't know anybody's names.
She was the one that said she is taking care of her.
Oh, it was a little performative, but I was okay with it.
Said that or Kia. Which one said that they were taking care of? That was Tyler because she left. And then the other girl also was like, oh no, the other girl was like, no, I'm picking me. He was trying to pick between the two of them. What was his name? I cannot remember his name. Kevin.
Kevin.
K-E-V-A-N. Okay. Annoying spelling, by the way.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, that's who that is. On the drive over here, I was listening to the Vile Files and... Oh, okay. They said they had Kevin from Love is Blind on the show. And I was like, who the fuck was Kevin? I couldn't remember.
Really
him.
Nice voice. These oh, people this year had killer voices, dude.
Who is, okay, the couple that I'm most obsessed with and they've gotten the least amount of airtime, you already know.
I already know.
It's going to be the couple that didn't actually go to the Mexico trip. They took the separate trip.
Yes.
I also can't remember their
names.
Hold on,
I'm pulling it up. I'm like.
The conversations they had about having biracial children was so meaningful. It was so thoughtful.
But they feel very legit to me from like substance, all of their conversations.
Completely.
And they're talking real life stuff, not hypotheticals.
Nope.
Would you change this? It's so easy on a TV show to go, yep, I would change my mind.
You
I would
tell though, I mean, I think women tend to just in general be a little more intentional with this.
Vic and what is her name?
I think women tend to be like a little more intentional with this kind of thing. He was by far the like most sincere person that they showed in this experiment. I love him so much. He seems like such a good human.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if this is not the couple to go all
also,
the way.
Also, I loved her mom. She was like, he's hot.
Totally. But like, I think since season one, we've been looking for another Cameron.
Christine.
And, yes. Cameron and, oh my God.
Oh, yes.
What is her name?
Cam and they had the show, the podcast.
I literally can't think of her freaking name.
We'll think of it in a second. But yes.
Totally. But they were, when you think of the perfect couple coming into this with the best of intentions, good people, having like the like hard conversations and like just perfect match through this process, it's that couple.
I agree.
The show has been missing that ever since. And the audience has been missing that ever since. I really, truly feel, I mean, the irony is not lost on me that it's another biracial couple, but I really feel like it's this couple.
Yeah.
To set the standard.
I agree.
10
seasons
later.
They definitely went into it, though, truly looking like
yes.
One of the girls told Kevin, you are not ready for this. You are not ready for this. Like, I love that the two girls were like, no, you're not putting me second. And we're having conversations because I agree. People like him come in.
I do think he came in though, thinking that he was.
Maybe,
I did get that sense, but I could be wrong.
Maybe 14 seconds in, and then he quickly shifted because he didn't want to tell one no. You're trying to pivot when your hand got held to the fire and be like, oh, I got pressured in.
Well, I think your actions speak different than your intentions.
Yeah.
I think he intended to come in.
Well, yeah,
for the experiment to work with him.
Yeah,
or work for him. And then, you know, like a kid in a candy shop realized
that
like,
call me crazy. I think everybody that comes on this show has an intention that it's going to work, because it has. I don't think they all come on just to get famous. I think that's a huge selling point.
That's the backup plan. The plan bingo. B is
that's it.
I get an audience out of this and I get that's a it. Career.
Exactly.
So like, what's the worst that happens? I don't fall in love, but okay, because I get followers. Because this is
a really good looking cast. I mean, as a whole, they did a good job with having really attractive people. Yes, I know
I've made some off-color remarks about some people, but in general, everybody is relatively attractive and they have not had that.
I agree.
Okay.
Devante?
No, I got it. Okay, she?
No, it was a man.
No. Oh,
but his wife, his girl.
She is probably one of the prettiest people they've had on this show.
Her tan, or
skin color.
I know. I'm like, girl. I love that she's like, I get real golden bronze in the summer. I'm like, girl, stop showing off.
Right, bragger.
Meanwhile, I was trying to like tan my face this morning. Golden bronze
in the winter.
Yeah, I was trying to tan my face this morning.
No, like, Devante, he doesn't know that he's black.
He looks like a toddler. And it's
confusing. He looks like a Cabbage Patch doll.
He does.
In adult man form. But no, it wasn't them. They're not getting married. It's so pointless to even discuss them. The couple that I am most obsessed with, besides Vic and the girl whose name I already forgot.
Christine.
I think I have Alzheimer's, but that's a whole other conversation. And again, I do not know their names. The tall, skinny blonde with the child and the fat one.
Oh, yes.
What are their fucking names? If there were ever two people that were just...
Amber.
Yes.
Hold on.
What is his name?
It's a freaking news article.
I looked at Robbie and I said, does it feel good to feel represented?
Stupid.
Because he has your exact same body type.
Dad, what is his name? Where are the boys? Let me see.
I don't know, but he is so funny. He's cute too.
He's very funny.
He's cute. He's funny. They're like, you know, you always see like that kooky older couple where the guy's like kind of like fat and the wife is like tall, thin, blonde.
Jordan.
Yes.
Jordan. He reminds me of
like... They're like a sitcom couple. I love them.
Kevin was in it. Oh my God. King of Queens.
Yeah. Literally exactly what I... sitcom couple.
Yep. He is funny. He reminds me of the cool neighbor down the street. Yeah. When you're 16, he's like, do you want a beer? Don't tell your dad.
Yeah. But like, what, like,
we would never do that, obviously.
Obviously. I love them. I
think do too.
I only think there's going to be two marriages that come out of this season. And I think they're going to be one. And I think Vic and, God damn it. What's her name?
Christine.
Thank you.
Girl, oh my gosh.
I need to write it on the back of my hand. I think they'll be the other one. I don't think anybody else will get married.
Me either. Devante
and his girl, no. Absolutely not.
And I think a lot obviously, of people are going to fall off before
the Keebler
weddings.
Elf and his girl already broke up.
He's going to go to the shop, go back and work in the fudge shop.
Breezy is definitely going to start something up with Keebler Elf.
I can't with that whole and, like...
Or Connor's going to get sick of her being such a like indecisive weirdo, wanting to explore all her options. And he's going to be like, okay, I'm done with this. Emma and her dude.
No.
The kid thing is going to be the divide.
They need to just cut theirs. They need to just sever that relationship now because kid thing is a deal breaker. Like, stop. You just heard his family even say like how important, like that just reiterated it. I would be like, you know what? I'm not the girl for you.
Right.
So no.
If she can't go into that marriage with 100% certainty that she would at least, obviously, a lot of shit.
Don't be like your sister, Emma.
A lot of shit can happen, right? Like, what if they get married and she tries to have a kid and she can't? Like, who knows what her physical things are, right?
That's her hung up thing.
But like, if you can't say that you are 100% certain that you're going to attempt to have a child because that is what you want with certainty.
What you want, not right. What he wants, you.
Then she shouldn't even pursue this anymore. Alex and his girl, I could see them getting married. I also...
Wait, Lion Alex?
Huh? Yeah.
The Lion Alex?
Yeah. And the blonde.
Yeah, I can't think of her name right now, with the good hair and the beak.
Yeah.
You said it, not me.
You're such a bitch. I could see them saying yes at the altar, and I think that we'll quickly get a separation announcement.
Okay, if that happens, for sure. Or one of them is going to leave. They're going to have so much pride going into it that one of them is going to want the upper hand to say no. Like, I could see them being the prideful, like, totally. All-American, like, couple of, like, we are the it people of the... They think they're the hottest ones. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to want to go through with it because, you know, they're the hottest ones in their minds.
Well, I think Breezy also thinks that she's quite beautiful. She does. And I think that's why she was so annoyed that night at the gathering.
And nobody wanted to come talk to her.
Correct. People weren't just falling at her feet, fawning like, over her beauty.
Because I love, that's one of my favorite parts of the experiment. I love when they all see what they quote missed out on. I love it. Because
she was expecting to have her Jessica moment from the Charlotte season.
That's what I was going to say. And the messiness of when people start to see. There was another one, the Jessica season, the blonde. There was a blonde that this happened to before, and she was just like thinking she was hot shit. And
I remember. Yes. I can't picture who it is you're talking about, but you know I remember it. Yes.
And it was the same situation where they thought, oh, when they see me, they might not need an EpiPen. And then in walks
Jessica, the hottest bitch to be on any of these shows. Yeah. And she's like, flip.
Who, me?
Right.
Me. And so I love that. I love when they, because I know, listen, I'm going to be the first one to admit it. Think about going in the pods and you have these like, conversations with people, hitting it off and thinking they said this, that, and the other, and then you go see what your competition. I know I'd feel insecure.
I think any normal person would.
Yes. And then I would, let's be honest, I'd probably go and be like, dang. That's when that Emma sister moment comes and you're like, I should have picked behind closed doors. Do they have the same pod that they always go into? Like, how does that exactly work?
See,
like, do people have assigned
pods? I need a documentary about the love. As I say, we know too much about how the
we want to know
soup
more.
Is made.
Who could we get on the
I
show?
I need more. Mm-hmm. You've given me too much. I want a tour of the place.
Me too.
I want to know the logistics. That's kind of what all reality show like Traitors. I'm obsessed with the logistics off camera. That's so interesting.
But
to
also
me.
When they walked in, when the girl walked in.
With the itty bitty waist.
And around thing in her face, she got sprung. When I pull up tough, because you know that butt was stuff.
I'm poked in the kiss up there.
We definitely got the words wrong. Oh, baby, I want to get with ya. And
take your picture. My homeboy's trying to warn me that. But she got, make me so horny.
I was trying to think of the girl's name. That's her part. I woke up this morning and told, I was like, God, stop. Please stop. What was I saying?
We were talking about the behind the scenes.
When Kevin's conversation happened with Kia or whatever, and she walked in and she screamed to the girls and the guys were like, oh, we heard a scream.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, is this a loft style? Because then how do they hear that, but they are not hearing other conversations?
When they do the like pan over.
I know, it's open.
Is it? I don't think it's open. I think there's like a
clear glass.
It looks like it's lighting, but I don't think it's glass. Like there's covers over the pods,
but it's like clear, so you can see in it though, because you can see
right.
In
they're like opaque.
Yeah, yeah. We need to have somebody on that we don't talk about badly. Because remember last year I was going to get homegirl on, and you're like, after I just said she was ugly.
Did what she was ever that get back to us?
I don't remember. I didn't check after you said why would you do that. And I was like, I'm not sure.
Wait, no, you guys, the only person.
Was it Annie? It was Annie.
The only person that Wendy messaged from the season last year
about
coming on the pod is the one that I talk so much shit about. I was like, okay.
So did I, because she was a hairstylist and she did this dirty, and I wanted to talk to her about it. I needed to get to the bottom of that.
Oh my God, so funny.
And she messages back wanting to come on, and then I never heard back because I got scared, I think.
Speaking of documentaries.
What?
I started watching the America's Next Top Model documentary.
It's on my list. Oh boy, have I seen and heard. Tyra is, Tyra's tough.
Okay, the irony is she produced this as a way to avoid cancellation.
Oh yeah.
And instead.
Incited more cancellation.
Solidified her cancellation. It needs to be studied, honestly, in sociology courses. It is absolutely fascinating to watch the way people are receiving this show completely different than how it was intended. And it's, I just it's know good. She's sitting in a dark room in her house regretting it.
Whatever, she sucks.
She has never looked better.
Let's not where I thought that was
continue
going.
Continue on with the shallow.
Now you're trying to be nice?
With the shallow.
You're scared I got of her, huh?
You know what? I'm nothing if not honest. Calling a spade for a spade. She looks absolutely incredible. I'm so envious of everything. The look, the hair, the outfit.
We're not ugly, we're just poor.
I might be a little of both. Some more than other. I think I'm more poor than ugly, but definitely a little of both. No, she's absolutely
she's giving RuPaul in this photo.
Her eyebrows are a little high. They're a little high. You know, I'm sorry. She's still fucking gorgeous. She looks like Sierra from Summer House.
She kind of does look like Sierra, but also
considering she's like 55 years old.
That's what I was gonna say. But also she's had some good people in her life.
Look up a still from her talking head from the documentary.
Well, I'm gonna watch that documentary today. Okay. If we can wrap this thing up.
So she's like, shut the hell up. No, quit talking.
We have nothing to say.
I mean, we are over an hour, so we can wrap it up.
We're giving people what they wanted.
I watched the show. Now,
oh, did you watch the whole documentary? Oh, you watched the show. Well, yeah, same.
So I'm on the last episode. I think it's only three episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm, I think, in the middle of the last episode. But I watched the show. Like, I remember loving this show. I didn't watch all of the seasons by any means. There was like, I think.
Oh, if I didn't like a tree stump, I was going to go on that show. I was like, I'm doing this. I'm going on there. And my little midget self was like, not
enough. Well, thank God you didn't. Because the shit that they're talking about.
I forgot to talk about that. Wait, look, we'll come back. Speaking of modeling.
No, we need to just, hold on. We'll put America's Next Top Model on pause. Okay. Going back to Love is Blind. We're talking about my sitcom couple. The poses.
Amber.
The poses.
When that light hit, honey, and she leaned back and got that. She even pointed her hand.
Oh my God. It was so theatrical and funny. I laughed.
The way that
out loud.
She is like, she's posing with her whole chest, baby. She was like, I'm going to have my silhouetting. Yeah.
And you know what? Good for her.
Good for her, for sure.
She took full advantage of that
shoulder
moment.
Back, boobs up and out, bam. And she did it.
She did it.
I love it.
It was perfect.
Was so funny to me.
Oh, yeah. And anyway. I can only hope. Of course, they panned away. I was really hoping that we could tell if she was still in that pose, if he got to see the silhouette, right. Or if her doors were too open where they couldn't. But
no, it was
so
good.
Fucking good.
I was dying.
Like chef's kiss. Okay. America's Next Top Model. Coming back. So I watched the first few seasons of the show. And then like, I think I either outgrew it or whatever. But Shandy. Do you remember Shandy?
Why do I remember that name?
Hold on. She looks absolutely nothing like she did on the show, but she was, when you think America's Next Top Model early seasons, you think Shandy. Because she was so very clearly the standout favorite. I don't know. I know you don't mind spoilers. So
no, I don't mind spoilers.
In case you didn't know, Shandy was really primed to win this thing. She won every competition. I mean, she was, when you think of like high fashion model, it's like you look at them in person, you're like, I don't get it. They're not that pretty. They're like so gangly and awkward. The way this girl photographed, perfection. Incredible.
This girl.
Yes.
Yes, I remember her.
Do you remember the circumstances of which she left the show?
Uh-uh.
So they went to Italy. And this is covered in the second episode. They went to Italy and they did these like go-sees and they had these like Italian boys on mopeds, like escort them around, whatever. Basically, production set them up so that the guys would come back to the house and drink with them and party and whatnot. And she was sexually assaulted. And not only was she sexually assaulted, and I do mean R word, raped, like whole kit and caboodle. Uh-huh. She was blackout drunk and they filmed the entire thing. What? Okay.
They talk about this in the documentary.
Yes. The whole thing is filmed. They, instead of like protecting her. They exploited it as her being unfaithful to her boyfriend. Tyra lectures her about how she needs to basically control herself, and that, you know, she gives the girls some talk, you know, some casual talk about, you know, if I wanted to break up with my man or if I wanted to hook up with somebody, I would just break up. Like, I wouldn't cheat, you know, that's wrong. Yeah, they frame this whole thing. Anyways, she ends up leaving the show on her own accord, and they film her. She wanted to call her boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Because she realized what had happened. She mm-hmm. And she describes it. She goes, I knew that sex was happening to me, but I didn't know what was happening, really. I couldn't feel it. I couldn't understand it. Like, whatever. Like,
that is,
I've insane. Been in that position. That really, unfortunately, crazy. That yeah. has happened to me. And the way she described it was exactly my experience. And they basically make her out to look like a cheating whore. She calls her boyfriend. They record the whole thing. They only give her a phone and allow her to call her boyfriend after she says, I'm exiting the show. I'm no longer doing this. And of course they film it. And he is calling her a bitch because she doesn't she's still describing it like she cheated, because that's how production has made her feel. Like, she made this choice. She cheated.
Yeah.
And he's devastated and he's screaming, crying. She's crying. Like, it's this whole dramatic moment. Later they show her going on the Tyra show when she had her talk show. And again, they're framing it as cheating, whatever. So jeez. They show her. So in real time, she's talking about it now, like, as, you know, part of the documentary set. And she's like, they asked if like they were still together. And she was like, no, she goes, we tried. She goes, he moved to New York with me. We got back together. I explained it. She goes, but when you're walking down the street and people, strangers come up and call you a cheating whore and scream that they hate you because, you know, you're a homewrecker and all this stuff. She's like, you can only handle so much of that, right? Mm-hmm. And it deeply ruined a lot of things in her life. And wow. It was like, and that's just like one of it. But I remember that whole scenario. I don't remember it being like, I don't remember the assault explicitly, but I remember the situation. I remember that phone call to her boyfriend, like watching it. And I do think that was the last season of the show I watched. And that was just one thing. They did some dark shit to these girls. Do you remember the girl that had her teeth pulled?
Yes. Yes.
She's also on the documentary.
I have not even thought about the show in
It's been very interesting watching it, like remembering all these different things. They talked about another girl that they have on the documentary. She talks about how Tyra insisted that she close her gap. Basically said, she was like, I like my gap. And Tyra basically said, if you want to stay on this show, you're going to close your gap. So as she's handing her picture or whatever, she goes, so we're going to fix the gap, right? Whatever. Mm. Literally like two seasons later, they intentionally, permanently, surgically give a girl a gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was, watching it back, it's like the fact that this bitch doesn't know that she was a villain.
Yeah. Yeah. They mess with so many
people. And even now, so many years later, all she's concerned about is her reputation. She can't own the terrible things that she did. The other piece of it, and
has she said anything since the documentary has
come
out?
I don't know. I would be very interested because I can promise you it's not going the way she thought it would.
Right.
So,
which I love to see it. Good. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad that it backfired on you because you were such a twat. I'm glad that these people finally get a voice.
Oh,
and it's your own production. Good job, dummy.
It's bad. They and they have the showrunner who did it with her. Uh-huh. He's a big part of it too. And he talks about like some of the photo shoots he regrets. Like one of the photo shoots they did, which was after I stopped watching the show. They were basically being photographed as high fashion murder victims. They were glamorizing violence. Oh. One of the girls, her mother was paralyzed in a wheelchair because a ex-boyfriend shot her. What did they have this girl do? pose as a gunshot victim. They had fake blood splattered on the wall behind her. It was insane. And he goes, I do regret that shoot. Like that, I don't know what I was thinking. I was an idiot. Like he kind of is very unapologetic for a lot of the show.
Yeah.
He did say, but that one he was like, that was a bad one.
Poor taste for sure.
And the girl said, she was like, you know, at the time I didn't think that it was, you know,
and it was a totally different correlation.
She was like,
too.
But now that I know.
Yeah.
Totally was a different world time.
Where, you
that's
know,
why
you
they get away with airing this
exactly.
shit.
You get away with so much more. Now, looking back, it's so twisted that it was actually deeper and we weren't catching on to it until now.
It's and like, that's just it.
Is she like, was calculated.
And that is applicable to so many things, right? What words we can say and can't and whatnot. We tolerated different things.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, obviously that's just the nature of being a person. Look at 100 years ago, the shit that was tolerated. Like, it's just
right.
crazy.
They were talking in like 5 times and 4 scores ago or whatever. What was that saying?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, of course, but it's fascinating to watch the show now or see clips of the show 20 years later. And it's like, holy fuck.
Go back and watch Desperate Housewives and report back. Cause I watched that during COVID
I've heard it's wild.
My God. Watching that back, you're like, oh,
I know.
Wow.
It's like the bad behavior that was tolerated.
Such a good show though.
But yeah. So no, the documentary is so good. It's so interesting. I would really love to know if Tyra has anything more after the fact.
I'm going to watch it.
The last thing that I was going to say about it that's been very interesting is the two J's. So
yes.
And Nigel.
Yeah, Nigel.
Right? The three judges, these were people from her personal life that she brought in to do the show. The way she did them so fucking dirty.
I cannot wait. I'm going to watch it.
I'm
literally going to watch it.
It's very good.
Sold me on that.
And it was just not something that I was expecting to, you know, re-enter my life all these years later.
That's what I'm saying. I forgot about the show.
So many people came off the show that I didn't realize.
I know. And then Molly, you know, from Southern Charm was on it. And so
I keep waiting for them to show a clip of her because they're talking about all the like wacky, terrible shit that they've done to like physically make over people. I keep waiting for them to show the hair, but I think we're past that. We're talking about surgeries and teeth now. I think we're past haircuts.
I think we're deep into the grills now. Well, I'm gonna go watch that.
So good. Oh, before we go,
yeah,
should we talk March Madness?
Oh yeah,
we're gonna post the rules. I did look.
Stories.
Yeah, I looked the. Well, we'll talk offline.
Okay,
we don't need to talk admin stuff on the show.
We don't need to give y'all the fourth wall because then you're gonna be like, lame. Mm.
But we have started putting up the nomination boxes.
Yes.
So just a quick reiteration. It's in male influencers, influencer husbands, brothers, whatever, reality TV, podcasters, whatever. Basically anybody, we don't really include celebs in the traditional sense, actors and whatnot.
Listen, it's partially at the beginning, it's a popularity contest. So we've had conversations in DMs about like hot guys. Just know that it's the top nominated guys that get into the brackets, which that's the popularity contest. And then it's thirst traps, it's hotties, it's thoughts, it's all that. Can guys be thoughts?
That being said, I have a couple ideas that I'm going to talk with Wendy offline. And so if you know somebody that's, you know, what we'll call for the sake
the
of
the average
this,
Joe.
Quote normie.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate to.
No, I feel like we discussed this last year of wanting to have something like that. We might have different categories too.
Yeah.
For some stuff.
So anyway.
It's going to be big.
And yes, we know everybody wants to renominate Dr. Mike. We love him. Our policy has always been that if they won the previous year, they
can't be in it this
they
year.
Can't be in it the following year. We try to spread the love, make it fair. But shout out to Dr. Mike because
he is a true prince. He'd win again this year.
The video of her ringing the bell
And him, oh my God, I know.
When I tell you, I wept.
Oh, same.
I wept.
I watched it multiple times.
Watching
and still
that
cried
video,
the first time,
like ugly cried.
Yeah,
it was so sweet. Anyways, all that to say, both of them are just gems of humans, and we love him, but he's not in it this year. It's just part of the rules.
And if you really want to see him, go back and look at last year's, because we got some good videos of him.
Yeah, we sure did.
So there you go.
Anyway, so that's that. And then we're going to have figure out our start dates and put a countdown so y'all can look forward to it.
Exactly. Save it and then get those little fingers ready. Yeah. And read this year. Read. We always get hundreds, literally lots of messages. Oh, I didn't mean to do that one. Oh, I actually, you got to read. I know it's annoying. I've done it too, but... Y'all, we can't rig this. So if we make a mistake or if y'all make a mistake, that's it. We can't rig it, unfortunately.
Facts.
All right.
Okay.
Love y'all.
Love y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Basically Famous, available on YouTube and anywhere you can listen to podcasts. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave us some words of affirmation. And don't forget to call or text the hotline at 919-867-6776 for your chance to be basically famous.
XOXO.